Today's daf is Yuma Daf Yud, and we are at the second line from the top of Daf Yud Amid Aleph, Uparsoi Minolon Demiyefes Ka'asu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Rufu Shalema. Fishlomo Ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Shmuel Ben Tehila, Yitzchak Elio Ben Shoshana Bracha, Mordechai Tzvi Ben Fradel, Gittel Necha Basara Chava, Chaya Devorah Basara Sprinza, and Bela Bashendel Rachel. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus. And today's that's being learned to Ilu Nishmas Avram Ben Yibadol Lechayim Toivim Reb Moshe Chayim. So we're in the middle of learning Divrei Agada, which almost by definition means we're in the middle of a digression. The Gemara on Daf Ches Amid Beis continued its detailed analysis of the first line of the Masechta. Shivas yomim koidim yom ha-kippurim, mafrishin koyin gadol mibesoy lelishkas parhedrin. And the Gemara brought a braisa. Rabbi Yehuda said, v'chi lishkas parhedrin ha'isa, was the name of the lishka that the koyin gadol was separated to for 7 days, lishkas parhedrin, v'aloi lishkas balvati ha'isa. We have a Messiah that the name of that chamber, the name of that room, the name of that lishka was Lishkas Balvati. So Rabbi Yehuda explained, "Betchila ha'yukayir noisa Lishkas Balvati," and then later they changed the name to Lishkas Parhedrin. What was this before and after? The before was when the Kayhanim Gedolim were Yorei Shamayim. The before was when the Kayhanim Gedolim were blessed with Yira Shamayim Toisef Yomim. The tenure of the Kohen Gadol usually lasted for years, if not decades. And it was for that reason, the room that the Kohen Gadol was separated to was called Lishkas Balvati. Balvati were officers that served for an extended period of time. But then, years later, Bayesheni, and more so, Besoif Bayesheni, the situation within the kahuna became very corrupt. And the Kohanim went from being Yorei Shamayim to Rishayim. And rather than serving long terms, it became to the point where the average Kohen Gadol would serve for less than a year. And there was a kiyum in the pasuk of Ushnois Rishon Tiktsarna. And it was for that reason the name of that Lishka was changed to Lishkas Parhedrin, because Parhedrin is also an officer. But these were officers who served the term of Shneim Asar Chodesh. Regardless, once upon a time, the Kohen Gadol was more like the Balvati. The Lishka was called Lishkas Balvati. But then the Kohen Gadol became more like the Parhedrin, and the name of the Lishka to symbolize that was changed to Lishkas Parhedrin. So the Gemara mentioned this before and after as it relates to the Kehanim Gedolim, which primarily was a distinction between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara digressed a little bit and talked a little bit about Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni. And the Gemara brought the well-known memory of Rabbi Yochanan. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? It was the Gimel Averis Chamuras, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Ra'ah, Shfichas Damim. Why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Sinas Chinam. Chafetz Chaim said it was really Lashon Hara. L'lamedcha sheshkula Sinas Chinam, ki Gimel Averis Chamuras, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Ra'ah, and Shfichas Damim. Then the Gemara brought another machloikis, me'inyan le'inyan, between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, as it relates to the second Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, the second Beis HaMikdash was fundamentally different than the first Beis HaMikdash. Corruption, yeah. But in addition to that, from a qualitative perspective, from an essence perspective, Bayis Sheni was never Bayis Rishon. How so? One of the most important Gemaras in understanding Jewish history, Yuma Chafala from the days, there were 5 things that were lacking in Bayis Sheni versus Bayis Rishon. One of them, which is not a little thing, was the Shechina. The Shechina was way more manifest in Bayis Rishon than it was in Bayis Sheni. And there was machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, a little bit of drama that we'll get to in the raid bite. But there was machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether Bayis Sheni could have been Bayis Rishon or whether it could not have been. Reish Lakish felt the only reason Bayis Sheni never lived up to Bayis Rishon, the reason the Shechina wasn't there, the reason perhaps we didn't have an Aron, was because there were so few Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael. And all these miracles that could have, would have, should have happened, would have happened had at least the majority of Jews been living in Eretz Yisrael. But it was a minority of Yidden that listened to the call of Koiresh and Ezra when the Yidden were initially given permission to go up to Eretz Yisrael. And even hundreds of years later, most Jews did not live in Eretz Yisrael. And it's for that reason Rish Lakish said the Shekhinah was never shayra properly in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why Bayis Sheni never became Bayis Rishon. Rabbi Yochanan argued. Rabbi Yochanan said the reason Bayis Sheni wasn't Bayis Rishon had nothing to do with the census of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael at the time. But the reason Bayis Sheni wasn't Bayis Rishon is because Bayis Rishon was built by Shloima Melech. The Mishkan was built by Moshe and Bezalel. Bayis Sheni was built by the Persian Empire on the dime of Haman Harasha, as we spoke about. But it was built by the Persian Empire. And because it was built by the Persian Empire, there was no chance of Bayis Sheni ever being Bayis Rishon. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan Darshan, the following pasuk, Yaft Elokim liyefes v'yishkoin ba'al leshem. Said Rabbi Yochanan, Afal gafte Yaft Elokim liyefes. There will be yoifi that will come from Yefes, but the Shekhinah is only going to be shoreh ba'al leshem. What does this mean? Shloima Melech came from Shem ben Noach. The Yishkoin Ba'al Shem, the oil, the tent, or the binyan that was built by Shloima Melech would merit Shekhinah. The Yishkoin Ba'al Shem. However, the tent, the binyan that was built by Yefes, by Yesheni, which was built by the Persian Empire, who came from Yefes, it was Yaftelikim Yefes. There would be Yoifi in Yefes, but at the same time, Shekhinah would only be Ba'al Le'eshem. So what's this digression now? We just mentioned that Paras came from Yefes, because that's Yaftelikim Yefes. There will be Yoifi in the binyan of Yefes, in the Beis HaMikdash that was built by the Persians, but no Shekhinah, the Yishkoin Ba'al Le'eshem. So the Gemara now is going to discuss how is it that we know for a fact that Persia with descendants from Yefes. And the Gemara now, for the first part of the daf, is really going to discuss psukim that are tucked away in the end of Parshas Noach. So at the end of Parshas Noach, after the entire episode of the Mabul, the pasuk says, Ve'ilu told us b'nei Noach, Shem Chom v'Yofes, Va'yivoldu lehem bonim achar ha-Mabul. Shem Chom and Yofes, they procreated, and they had grace and mishpuches, and this all took place after the Mabul. And then the pasuk goes on to describe some of the children of Shem, Chom, and Yofes. These are the Enoch of Noach, and how civilization came to be, eventually culminating with Avram, Asor Doris, Minoach, Vad Avram, etc., etc. So the first pasuk that's mentioned is Bnei Yefes. The following were the sons of Yefes: Goimer, Umagoig, Umadai, V'Yavon, V'Suval, Umeshech, V'Sira. So Yefes had seven sons, and the pasuk lists the seven sons. That's what today's daf picks up. How do you know that the Persians actually come from Yefes? Dichsev, it's a pasuk. Pnei Yefes, goymer umagog, umadai, v'yavon, v'suval, umeshech, v'siros. Now, all seven of Yefes' sons, Pashup Shad in the pasuk, went out and they became the patriarchs of what today, or at least in the ancient world, were very powerful kingdoms. That means goymer represents not just a person, literally the pasuk is saying he was a son of Yefes, but this is also a medina that was founded by Goymer. Magog, Madai, Yavon, Tuvon, Meshech, and Siros, all the same. So the Gemara says, what were these respective kingdoms that came about through the seven sons of Yefes? Goymer is their Garmamya. Goymer is Garmamya. The Girsa of the Vilna Goyen is Garmanya. Incidentally, there are different Girsois how to learn the Gemara. Magog, Gzu, Kandia. Magog is what's known as Kandia. Madai Kimashmoy. We know what Madai is. Yavon Zu Macedonia, also known as Macedonia, Macedon, which incidentally is a little bit of a misnomer. We usually think of the Yavonim as Greeks, but for the history buffs, Greece and Macedon or Macedonia were not really the same country. And the truth is that Yavon is not Greece, it's Macedonia. Alexander the Great was called in Chazal Alexander Mukhtin. Mukhtin is not Greece. Mukhtin is Miloshin Macedonia, because he was a Yavon. But that's a whole nother conversation. Tuval Zebesunaiki, Meshech Zumusya, Tiras, Pligi, Rep. But Rabsimoy Brabon of Amilo Rabsim Brabon Khadama once says Ubase Teraiki. Some say this is Turkey, the Khadam as Uparas, it's Persia. Tani Rab Yosef. Rab Yosef said, Tiro is Uparas. Bottom line is Yefes had seven sons. Goimer Umagog Umadevi Yavan Vituval Umeshech Vesiros. What was Siros? Siros was Paras. Oh, so you see clearly that the Persian Empire was founded by one of Yefes' sons. Thus, when the Pasuk says Yaftali Kimli Yefes, it could be referring to the second Beis HaMikdash that was paid for by the Persian Empire. So on this note of Darshan in this Pasukim, we digress from our digression. Safta v'rama v'saftecha. So this is describing the family of Cham. Cham had a son, Cush, Kiyodua, and Cush had three sons. Safta v'rama v'saftecha. Tani Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said, Sakis' son Gavaisa, v'sakis' son Baraisa. That the Safta and Saftecha, these two sons, whose Medinois represent their name, which would then suggest that these Medinas were similar, Safta, the Saftacha, right? It seems very similar. Rabbi Yosef said, in fact, they were very similar. One was a city, and the other one was its suburb, meaning one was called the Sakisison Kavaisa, the inner Sakisison, and the other one was the Sakisison Baraisa, the outer one. This is between one and the other was 100 parsois, that Kefa Alpha Parsi, and the circumference of the outer one was 1,000 parsois. Those psukim in the end of Parashas Noach continue along and start talking about Nimrod, of Nimrod fame. The pasuk says, "Vati reishis mamlachtei Bavel." His initial malchus was Bavel, the Erech, the Akkad, the Kalne. Bavel, kamashma. We know what Bavel is. Erech is that Oirichos. It's the city of Oirichos. Akkad is Baskar. Some say this is Bashkar of Bnei Bashkar fame. Kalne is a Noifer Ninfi. Min Aretzahi Yotza Ashur. From that land emerged Ashur. Ashur was the ancient kingdom of Assyria. Not Syria, but Assyria. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Ashur is Asilik, even as Nineveh. That's Rechoves Irveh as Kolach. Nineveh, what was Nineveh Kimashmoy? Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Rechoves Irveh is Ephras, the Meshon, Kolach is Ephras, the Bursif. That's Resen Bein Nineveh, Uben Kolach, Hiyo Irgedoilo. Resen ze Aktesfun. Hiyo Irgedoilo. So the Pasuk says there was Resen, which was between Nineveh and Kolach. He ho Irgedoilo. So what's he? It's an improper pronoun, right? It's not clear what it's referring back to. Is he referring to Resen, to Nineveh, or to Kolach? Resen was between Nineveh and Kolach. Pasha, how do you read the pasuk? He, what's the he, was a big city. So the Gemara says, is it Resen or is it Nineveh? In Sefer Yoyna, it says that Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go from sea to shining sea of Nineveh. So you see from there that it was Nineveh that was the Ir Gedoyla. So on the topic of Ayoros, of cities, the pasuk says, and now we're fast-forwarding to Parsha Shlach, when the Meraglim come into Eretz Yisrael, they came to Chevron, and they saw Vesham Achiman, Sheshai, Vetalma, Yelidei Ha'anok. They met these giants. Tano Achiman, Meyumach of Achim. He was the strongest of all the brothers. Sheshai, Shemesim, Esaretz, Kishchisois. When he would walk, every step that he took would make a ditch in the ground. He was so big. Talmai Shemesim es Arts Tlamim Tlamim. He was a human plow. Achiman Bana Anos. Achiman built Anos. Sheshai Bana Olush. Talmai Bana Talbush. Yelidei Ha'anok. What does that mean? Shemanikin Achamim became Asim. They were so tall that it looked like the sun was a necklace. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Amar Rabbi. I see the Roimi. Shetim Pelbiyad Paras. Roimi is in the end of days going to fall in the hands of Paras. So the Roman Empire, that's what it sounds like, is going to be defeated in the end of days by the Persian Empire. Shenema, the pasuk says, Lochem, Shimu atzas Hashem ashe yo'atz el Edoim umachshavoysav ashe choshav el yoishvei seimon im lo yischovum tzeirei atzoin im lo yashem aleim neveim. So, this is a cryptic pasuk in Yirmiyahu Perek Memtes, but the gist of the pasuk is, Lochem Shimu atzas Hashem ashe yo'atz el Edoim. So we're referring to Edoim. Chazal had a Messiah that Roimi were descendants of Edoim. So we're describing the Malchus of Edoim. And Yirmiyahu says, Lo yischovum tzeirei atzoin. The tzeirei atzoin, the land, the country that's known as young sheep, they're going to take them down. And they're going to destroy their neveim, their neighborhoods. So the Gemara said, that Rabbi Shua ben Levi said in the name of Rebbe, that when Yirmiyahu said Edoim, he meant Roimi. And when he said that this land known as Tzeirei Atzoin is going to take down Edoim, he was referring to Paras. So the Gemara says, Maskefla Rabbi Barula. So Rabbi Barula asked the Kasha. He asked Rabbi Shua ben Levi a Kasha, or what he said over in the name of Rebbe. He told him, "My mash benayit Tzeirei Atzoin Paras." So how did Rebbe know that when it says Tzeirei Atzoin, it was referring to Persia? He said, probably, because there's a pasuk in Daniel that would seem to suggest that. Chsiv, because when the Navi Daniel saw the four Malchias that were going to give Yidden Tsaras, so each Malchus was represented by an animal. And it says, Ha'ayul Ashero Iso Balakronoyim Malchi Modayu Paras. So the Pasuk describes Malchi Modayu Paras as an ayul, as a ram. Oh, Siri Atsoin, it's a ram. But he told him, Ve'emo Yavon, maybe it's Yavon Dichsev, because Yavon was a goat. Vahatsofir Hasoir Melech Yavon. So how do you know that Siri Atsoin is the ram? Maybe it's the goat. Right? It could be either one l'chayra. So the Gemara says, "Ki salik Rav Chaviva bar Surmeki Amr Kameda Humer Rabbanon." Amar Lui said, "Mandula Yada Pirusha Kroy Moisif Tuf to the Rabbi." So somebody came and asked this question to one of the Rabbanon, and this one of the Rabbanon said, "I don't understand." Someone who doesn't know Nach is asking a kasha on Rabbi. Rabbi was the one who said this. He said that Tetziri Asayin is referring to the Persians, and the Kashan, the Gemara said, what? Rabbi Barula asked the Kashan, Damiram started tumbling over this question. Maybe really it's Yavon. Why would you think Paras? Because Daniel saw it as a ram. So he saw Yavon as a goat. Either one would technically fit the definition of Tzoyin. So the Gemara says, my Tziri Tzoyin, and he explained why. So he was very, this one of the Rabbanu was very taken aback by the question. He says, if you don't know Nach Klar, you fakes Kashas of Rabbi, what was so bad with the question? He said, because the word in the pasuk is tziri atzayin, very, very young sheep. Zutra da'achoy. And that's a remez to the youngest of the sheep, the youngest brother. And the Tani Rabbi Yosef said, tiras ze paras. The pasuk that we began with. B'nei yefes goymer umoga yumadai v'yavam v'suval umeshach v'siras. The pasuk lists seven sons of Yefes. And the pasuk lists them in order of their age. And the seventh son mentioned in the pasuk is tiras. And Rabbi Yosef said, tiras is paras. That means Paras is the young brother. Oh, if he's the young brother, that would be why the Pasuk would describe it as... See, you want to know how Rebbe knew it? It wasn't from the word tsoin. You're right. Tsoin can mean Paras. It could also mean Yavon. One's a ram, one's a goat. They both fit the definition of tsoin. However, the Raya was something else. The Raya was because Tziri at tsoin. That's why you can't ask a kasha on Rebbe unless you really, really know Nach. Meaning he felt he didn't fully know the Pasuk in Noyach. Had he been cognizant of this Pasuk of Noyach a little bit better, then he would in Amar Abba Bar Bachan and Rabbi Yochanan. On this topic, I'm sure Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi Loi. I see the Remish Dibel Biad Paras. So Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi Loi, also known as Stam Rabbi Yehuda in Shas, that one day Roimi is going to fall in the hands of Paras. So first the Gemara said, Rabbi Shua ben Levi said it in the name of Rebbe, learning it from a Pasuk in Yirmiyo, and here we have Rabbi Bar Bachana saying in the name of Rabbi Yoich and the name of Rabbi Yoich, the same thing. But he didn't learn it from a pasuk. He learned it from one of the Yud Gimel Midoy Shahatayr in the Drashos Bam. He said, Kal v'choymer, ma mikdash rishoy, ma duch the first base amikdash, abonu b'nei Shem. Who built the first base amikdash? The Yishkan Baal Eshem, Shlomo HaMelech. Have Chribu Kazdin, the Babylonians destroyed it, and what happened? Naflu Kastiyin b'yad Parsin. Meaning the Persians defeated the ones that destroyed Bayis Rishon. So Madach the Persians defeated the ones that destroyed Bayis Rishon. Mikdasheni shabanu parsim fechribu roimim inadin shiplu roimim biad parsim. This is a little bit of a complicated Kal V'chaymer. So let's do it in two steps. The crux of the Kal V'chaymer is that Madach the Persians defeated the Babylonians who destroyed the first base Amikdash. Kal V'chaymer, the Persians will be able to defeat the Romans who destroyed the second base Amikdash. That's the Kal V'chaymer. Madach, the Persians took down Bavel, who destroyed Bayis Rishon. Certainly they're going to take down Roimi, who destroyed Bayis Sheni. The question is, what's the Kal V'chaymer Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni? So initially you would think, what do you mean? Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, right? Based on some of the raid that we spoke about, the introduction to Daf Tes that we spoke at the end of Daf Ches, but that's not Pashup Shan in the Gemara. Pashup Shan in the Gemara is that Paras has more of a schus to destroy the one that destroyed the second base Amikdash than they do to defeat the one that destroyed the first base Amikdash. Why? Because Paras built the second base Amikdash. So if Paras built the second base Amikdash, Li Nakom, they have a right now to take a little bit of revenge. So Madach, they were able to take down Bavel, who destroyed Bayis Rishon, where Paras had no sheiches to Bayis Rishon. Kal V'chaymer, they could take down the one that destroyed Bayis Sheni, where they have a sheiches to Bayis Sheni, because they're the ones that built Bayis Sheni. I guess Shmack Kal V'chaymer, stating that, even though Rebbe and Rabbi Bar Bachan and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Dabaloi said that I see the Paras Shetipel B'yad Roimi, my Rav argued. He said, I see the Paras Shetipel B'yad Roimi. This is Rav Tanahu Upalik. He said just the opposite. Roimi is not going to fall in the hands of Paras, but Rome is actually going to defeat Paras. The other way around. I see the parish of people fading. I'm only Rav Kahana, Rav Asa, the Rav. So Rav Kahana, Rav Asa, both the Rav. Bonibi at Sturi? Does it make sense? At the end of the day, Paras built a Beis HaMikdash. Rome destroyed a Beis HaMikdash. So is it fear that at the end of days, the one that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash should be able to defeat the one that built the Beis HaMikdash? Amar Luhu, who's the Rav? Said, yeah, who said not? Xeris Malachi. This is what the Eibishter wants. This is the way it's going to be. Some say, we told them, even though the Persians built a second Beis HaMikdash, but they haven't been such tzaddikim throughout the ages, they destroyed many Bati Knesias. Now, at first glance, you would say, so they built the Beis HaMikdash, but they destroyed Bati Knesias. This is the Beis HaMikdash, and this is a Beis HaKnesses. In light of some of the excerpts that we spoke out from the Bar Benel, I think we can understand this Gemara a little bit better. If Bayis Sheni was a Mikdash Ma'at, came Bati Knesia, Shebebeitar, Vishalaxandria, I think it adds a little bit of a knitch in the Havana of this Gemara. Tanya Nami Yochi, I see the Parsha Tipu B'Rad Roimi. So even though we said Rav Tanu Upolik, the truth is a Brice that supports Rav. The Brice that says Paras one day is going to fall in the hands of Roimi. Chalda, this has to be Knishna. Number one, it makes sense. Because they destroyed Bati Knesia. So even though they built the second Beis HaMikdash, Rome destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but at the same time, Paras is not perfect. Even though, again, it would seem counterintuitive that this is the way it should be, because there is Melech HaShip HaBoyim Yad Soysim, this is what the Eibishter wants, that the Boyim should fall in the hands of the Soysim. Zok Tegimar, V'Omer Rav Yehuda Marav, not the Omer, but V'Omer Rav Yehuda Marav, Imi David Bo, at Shetiv Shnei Malchus Remi Yerushal B'chol Lo'olam Kuloi Tishach Hadashim. Shiach's not going to come until the Roman Empire is going to have Shlit in the world for 9 months. Shenem Alochim Yitnein Ad Eis Yoyleida Yolada, V'Yesner Echav Yeshuvon, Al b'nei Yisrael, lochein yitneim ad eis yoyleido yolado. Ad eis yoyleido yolado. We're talking about the tisha yarche leido. So before Mashiach's going to come, the Navi Micha said the malchus of Roimi is going to spread for 9 months. So just one ha'ara before we go weiter, and that is, it's clear from the Gemara that at the end of days, Roimi and Paras are going to be the two superpowers that are going to be in play. Now, Paras is Persia. Paras is Iran, which is interesting, because this is a Mefurish Gemara in Yuma Daf Yud, that at the end of days, Iran is going to be a very important player in the geopolitical scene. The question is, what is Roimi? The Roman Empire was defeated 1600 or so years ago. So when we talk about Roimi, Lechura, what we're really referring to, as we saw in today's daf, is the Malchus of Edom. Edom was a reincarnation of, or Roimi was, of Edom. But the truth is that Edom, the Vilna Gaon said, is always the most powerful Malchus in the world. So we know Paras is. Edom is a little trickier, because you have to know what the Reishis Mamlachtoi of that generation is. But the point is, in the end of days, it's going to be Roimi, and it's going to be Paras. There's a well-known Gemara, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis. The Gemara says, Darish Rab Chanina Bar Papa, some say Rab Samloi, Lassad Lava, in the end of days, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah, Manicha Lecheper, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a Sefer Torah, from Omer he's going to say, Misha Asak Ba Yavav Yitel Scharin. Anyone that engaged in learning Torah should come take Schat Miyad, Miskapsu Nubam, Oivdei Kechavim Bar Vuvya, and all the Oivdei Kechavim are going to come Bar Vuvya, and all the Oivdei Kechavim are going to come with reasons, they're going to hire attorneys to make the case on their behalf, why it is that they deserve a chelik in Olam Haba. They feel they all had a chelik in Torah. Now, only the Yidden learned Torah. But the Gemara says, the Mitzvah Olam are going to say that it's true we didn't learn, but we did everything we can possibly do to make it better for the Jews to be able to learn. Shaitim Shabbat Olam, and the rest is history. Avodah Zarah Daf Beis. If you go through the Gemara goes through descriptively what the argument of two of the nations in the end of days are going to be. The nation of Roimi and the nation of Paras. Those are the two nations that the Gemara mentions. Says the Gemara, why did the Gemara Dafka mention those two? So the Gemara says, because these two mamlochos are going to be very powerful in the times of Mashiach. And that's why these are the two nations that get their shout out here in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It's not only those nations. The Gemara says all the nations. But we're mentioning two. Why are we reckoning with those two? Because those are the two that are going to be powerful in the end of days, which is of course Matin with this Gemara right here, Yuma Daf Yud, Taisus and Avodah Zarah, Shtel Su, the two Gemaras. But the point is, you have a Gemara in Yuma Daf Yud, you have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis, that at the end of days, there's going to be the Malchus of Edom, which is a little bit more ambiguous what exactly that is, the Malchus of Paras, which I think is less ambiguous, Pashtus, it's Iran, it's the Persian Empire, and it's a little bit of insight in terms of what the world is going to look like before the coming of Mashiach. Zok de Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. So we return to our regular program, and that is Shivas Yomim Koidim Yoyim Akipurim Mafrishin Koyin Godo Mi Beisoy Lelishkas Parhedrin. So the Koyin Godo lived in Lishkas Parhedrin for 7 days a year. Here's the question. The Lishkas Parhedrin. Did it have a mezuzah or did it not have a mezuzah? And this question, which is a straightforward halacha l'maisa question, if you're involved in setting up Lishkas Parhedrin for the Kohen Gadol, you have to know, do you put a mezuzah, do you not put a mezuzah? It's going to take us through our next digression, and you can have a little bit of Hilchis mezuzah from the next two dafin tucked away here in the beginning of Masech Tezium. Mazak de Gemara, Tanu Rabban, Kala Lishkas Shayipa, Mikdash Leihem Mezuzah, all the Lishkas, all the chambers that were in the base of Mikdash didn't have a mezuzah. Chutz, Mi Lishkas Parhedrin, with the exception of Lishkas Parhedrin, Shahoya Ba Beis Tira L'Kohen Gadol. That was a real Beis Tira. Where do you put a mezuzah? In a house where somebody lives. We'll see more about this. But Poshit, if someone lives in a certain room, a house, so you have to have a mezuzah. So the only one of the lishkos that someone actually lived in was Lishkas Parhedrin. The Kohen Gadol lived there for 7 days. Therefore, that was the only lishka that had a mezuzah. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, it's not true. There were many lishkos in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what was he referring to? So he was referring to the Mishnayis in the beginning of Masechtas Tamid and Masechtas Midos that talks about the shomrim that were in the Beis HaMikdash. So there were shomrim, guards. Now, these weren't really guards that were providing security. But this was more for kavod. Once upon a time, if a person pulled up to a palace, see, he would see shomrim, and their job was simply to give the bayis a shtoltz. And the Beis HaMikdash had shomrim, and they were stationed and positioned in different lishkos. So Rabbi Yehuda said, those shomrim that worked the night shift or the day shift, and on these posts, you would think they were living there. It's not a Beis Dira for them. This is where they spend their 9 to 5. And said Rabbi Yehuda, so what do you see from there? That just because this lishka was a Beis Dira for the Kohen Gadol, that's not enough of a reason to be mechayiv in Hilchas Mezuzah. El lishkas parhedrin zeirah hoysa. Said Rabbi Yehuda, well, I don't disagree with you. There was mezuzah and lishkas parhedrin, but not because it was a Beis Dira. Nothing to do with Beis Dira. Rather, it was a gzeirah hoysa. It was a special gzeirah. What exactly the nature of this gzeirah is, we're going to see at the end of the daf. But for now, we have a very subtle machlokes, right? Sometimes you learn a machlokes in Shas, and literally the two shittas are very diametrically opposed shittas. This machlokes is a very, very subtle machlokes. The Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that there was one lishka in the Beis HaMikdash that had a mezuzah. That lishka was Lishkas Parhedrin. The machlokes is, why did it have a mezuzah? The Chachamim say, Shehayah Beis Dira L'Kohen Gadol. It's a Beis Dira. It needs a Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said that no, it's not because it was a Beis Dira. Rather, it was a Gzeirah. So at the end of the day, they both agree that there was a mezuzah. The machlokes is, did it need a mezuzah? Or was it only a Gzeirah? And it's for that reason they had a mezuzah. Pashat, is there a Chiyah mezuzah deraisa? It's a Beis Dira. Or is it only a Chiyah mezuzah derabbanan? Stating that, the Gemara now is going to bring a machlokes abaya v'rava. What exactly the machloikis reviewed in the Chachamim, and as we'll see, could be it wasn't such a major machloikis. So, the Gemara, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's Pshana Rabbi Yehuda? Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that the fact that the Kohen Gadol lived there for 7 days isn't enough of a reason for it to actually be obligated in mezuzah? I'm a rabbi. Rabbi said, Kesav Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds, Kol bayis, any yosel, lemaisa chama, lemaisa gzom, any bayis that people don't live in the summer and in the winter is not considered a bayis. So, if it's not considered a bayis, this is only 7 days a year, so it's not made lemaisa. It's not considered a bias. It's not a bias. It's not mezuzah is pesecha. See, not chayv mezuzah. It's a bias. A bias asked his Rebbe, Rabbi Kashna, for ksiv, I have a pasuk in Amos. So you see that a house that you only use in the winter is called a bayis. Beis HaKoyrev. A house that you only use in the summer is called a bayis. Beis HaKoyrev. So you tell me it's not a bayis, it's not chayv mezuzah. Beis HaKoyrev, Beis HaKoyrev. So again, what's Pshana Rabbi Yehuda? It's a bias, it's a base dira. Amalei, so Rabbi told a bias, base chayrif, base kai, it's ikri. Bias stoma loy ikri. It's true, a base hachayrif is called a base hachayrif, and a base hakai, it's with the shame levoy. But bias tam, when it says, uchsaftam al mezuzah is base secha, that's bias tam. Bias tam is only a bias that's used the whole year. This one's only used 7 days a year, and as a result, it's not bias tam. If it's not bias tam, it's not chayv and mezuzah day raisa. So Rabbi said, first pshat, why is it that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no chiyah mezuzah midei raisa on Lishkas Parhedrin? Because it was 7 days a year. It has to be a Beis HaGshamim, Beis HaChayrif. It has to be a house that you use the whole year. And you don't use this house the whole year. And as a result, this Lishka is not mezuzah, is Beis Secha, it's not Bayis Tam. And therefore, it's not Chayiv. It's the Chama, obviously, you argue. And therefore, the Chama, you are Chayiv. It's Beis Ve'Abayah. But Abayah asked Rabbi Kashna from a Mishnah in Masechtas Maestris. The Mishnah says, Sukkah Sachag Bechag. If someone made a Sukkah, on Sukkos. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yechayev, Chacham and Poitch, Chacham say Yepach. But Tani Allah, we learned in a Braisa. What did Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says Chayev? Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Be'erev, it's considered a house for Eruvi Chatzeris purposes. Ube Mezuzah, it's considered a house in Hilchas Mezuzah. Ube Meiser, and it's also considered a house in Hilchas Meiser. So a house in Hilchas Eruvi Chatzeris is Pashit. In order to make an Eruvi Chatzeris, every single house that opens up into this chatzar has to be mishtativ. If one person is not mishtativ, it throws off the whole air. So you need everyone to be mishtativ. The question is, if I have a sukkah, is it a house or is it not a house? Do I have to be mishtativ in the air? Do I not have to? If I'm not mishtativ, do I throw off the whole air or not? So that's what Rabbi Yehuda means when he says sukkah is a chag b'chag. Is chayiv an eruv? It means it's a legitimate eruv. What does mezuzah mean? Pashu, you chayiv a mezuzah. What about ma'aser? So there's halacha, the only time you chayiv a ma'aser is midday raisa, is if you take your tefuah from the field, you walk it into your house, but when you walk it into the house, you go derech ha-melech. You go in the proper way. However, if you go in through some back door, through the window, then you're not going to be chayiv in ma'aser midday raisa. The Gemara says in Brachas Lamed Hey Amid Beis, that once upon a time there were Yidden that they used to make a harama. This was some primitive form of tax evasion. So they wanted to figure out a way to not have to be mafish chumas and maizras. So they would never take the tefuah through the front door. They would come in through some other way, and as a result, they were potter. So that's Rabbi Yehuda saying. It's considered a bias for hilchas erev hilchas mezuzah hilchas maizer. So what's the kasha? You see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that you chayiv in mezuzah on a sukkah 7 days, sukkah is a chag b'chag. So how could Rabbi Yehuda tell me, said Abaya, Rabbi, that the reason there was no chayiv mezuzah, midday raisa, lichkas parhej, because it's only 7 days. What do you mean? It's only 7 days? Why is it different in sukkah is a chag b'chag? And by the way, you have a steer in the chachamim also, because the chachamim said you were chayiv in mezuzah by lichkas parhejin, and the chachamim were paitrim here in this Mishnah Masechtas Maaseres. They say you're potter from air, you're potter from mezuzah, you're potter from maaser. So maybe you'll tell me, let's talk about the steer in Rabbi Yehuda. There really is no steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds lichkas parhejin doesn't have a chayiv mezuzah midday raisa. Why not 7 days? It's not Pesach Erev, it's not Pesach Shabbat. Maybe it's only midrabanan. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev is only midrabanan. He was Mechayev midrabanan by Lishkas Parhedrin, so why can't it be Mechayev midrabanan? The result, I'll tell you why. Because Bishlam Erev and Mezuzah Iklamem midrabanan. Erev Yechayev midrabanan b'seder. Mezuzah Yechayev midrabanan. Ela Meisim Iklamem midrabanan. Is it possible to say that Yechayev and Meiser midrabanan? Way too dangerous. Don't ask the Frushim and Achiv al Apturim and Apturim al Achiv. We don't want people to be Mafresh Trumas or Meisers midrabanan. If really midday Raisa, you're not obligated to be Mafresh. And the reason is because you can only be mafresh trumas and maizers from something that's chayiv. If you're mafresh from something that's potter on behalf of something that's chayiv, you throw off your whole trumas and maizers. So it's not mashma that the rabbana would make a chumra and say that you should be. Now sometimes you have to be mafresh trumas and maizers with the rabbana. You have no choice, demai, etc. But we're not going out of our way to make chumras to be moisif examples of when you're going to be chayiv and maizer. So it's mashma to din deiraisa. It's elam rabbayo. So Abaya turned to Rabbi and he says, I don't know if this is the pshat. And he suggested a different pshat, meaning the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is not whether a house that you only use if it's 7 days a year, it's not a beis ha-shamim and a beis ha-kayit, such a house is chayiv in mezuzah mid-reis. That's not the machlokes. Rather, what's the machlokes? Everybody holds that if you have a house for 7 days, you're going to be chayiv. Sukkas Achag, Rabbi Yehuda says Yechayiv, and everybody holds for that matter that as it relates to Lishkas Parhedrin, you'd also be Chayiv. So what was the Machloikis? Chachamim said Yechayiv and Lishkas Parhedrin. All the Lishkas were potter with the exception of Lishkas Parhedrin, and Rabbi Yehuda said it was only Exeret. They weren't arguing for the 7 days. They were arguing for the rest of the Rabbanit. The Rabbanit said that the Lishkas Parhedrin had to have a mezuzah the entire year, 365 days a year. Gzeir because of the 7 days. Rabbi Yehuda Savalei Gazrin, Rabbi Yehuda holds, we didn't make Gzeir. Meaning, the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol was in Lishkas Parhedrin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they had to bring someone to klat mezuzahs. No question that's what happened. Just like a sukkah for 7 days of Yontif needs a mezuzah, this also would need a mezuzah. What then was the machlokes? What about the rest of the year? That was according to the Chachamim, Yechayif. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not chayv. Amale Rava. So Rava said that you can't say this. Why? Because v'hasukah sachag b'chag katani. At the end of the day, the Mishnah says clearly that the machloikis is with regards to sukkah sachag on chag. The machloikis is not with regards to the rest of the year, but rather the machloikis is with regards to the chag. What's the point? The kash is not on Rabbi Yehuda. The kash is on the chacham. The chachamim hold your potter. The Chachamim seem to say that even Sukkos HaChag B'Chag Yipater, meaning Rava told Abaya, I hear your problem with Rabbi's Pshat. You suggested your own pshat. Your pshat answered Rabbi Yehuda, didn't answer the Chacham. That was in short what Rava told Abai. Because at the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda b'seidi, you have a little bit of a teretz. Here, Rabbi Yehuda says Yichayev Subasachav Yichag Snashma Midei Reisna, and here by Lishkas Parhedrin he says Yipater. Oh, here he's talking about the 7 days, and there he's talking about the rest of the year. B'seidi, what about the Chachamim? The Chachamim hold now that Lishkas Parhedrin is Chayev 7 days, and even the whole year. Let's say Midei Rabbanon and Sukkas Achag B'chag. The Chachamim hold Yipater on Sukkas. So you have a steer in the Chachamim. Lishkas Parhedrin Yechayev Midei Reisa 7 days, and Sukkas Achag B'chag during those 7 days Yipater. Snelam Rava. So Rava said, Abaye, we have to add a little bit more in order to explain this machlekes. B'shayi Ma'is Hashurim Kulam Alabig Dibur. I hold the whole year. Everybody holds Yipater. Ki Pligi B'shiv. The machlekes is regarding the 7 days. What's the problem? Chalikas is regarding the 7 days. We have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. We have a stira in the Chachamim. As it relates to Lishkas Parhedrin, the Chachamim say, Yichayim Midei Raisa for the 7 days. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yipater. As it relates to Sukkas Achag B'chag, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yichayim Chachamim say, Yipater. It's mamash a stira. What's going on over here? These are both houses that people live in for 7 days. Here, Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim say one way, and there, Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim say the other way. So the Gemara says, Sukkah time of the Chud, Lishkah time of the Chud. Rava said, there are two distinct machlekes in Sukkah time of the Chud, Rabbi Yehuda Lutame Damadir. Sukkah Tiras Klavi in Rabbi Yudos L'Shitasai, who holds in Sukkah Dav Zayin of a Beis. The Gemara has a list of Tanon that hold that a Sukkah has to be a Diras Kva, different Nafkaminas in Hilchas Sukkah. But Rabbi Yudos, one of the Shitas there, and he's L'Tameh, that's what L'Shitasai is, because he holds in Sukkah Zayin of a Beis. That a sukkah has to be a deer's kva here too. He also has to be a deer's kva. That's why in the Mishnah and Maestris, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah is chayv and maestris. V'rabbanon l'tamad, rabbanon l'shitasayu da'amri sukkah deer's saroi binon. That a sukkah has to be a deer's saroi. V'loi mechayv and mezuzah. A deer's saroi is not chayv and mezuzah. So you wonder what the machlokes reading the Chacham is in Hilchis, sukkah. That is a sukkah deer's kva, it's a deer's saroi. If it's a deer's kva, you'll be chayv and mezuzah. If it's a deer saroi, you won't. And the machlokes reading the Chachamim al deshita sayu the lishka time luchod. What's the machlokes regarding the lishka? It's in some machlokes. Rabbanan savri deer bal karcha shma deer. The Rabbanan hold that if someone's forced to live in a certain place, it's considered a deer. And it's for that reason, even though the Kohen Gadol was forced to live in Lishkas Parhedrin for 7 days, it's called a deer. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, deer bal karcha lo shma deer. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that a deer bal karcha lo shma deer, if you're forced to live in a certain place, it's not considered a deer, and therefore you're not chayim midei reis. However, midi Rabbanan ude tekinu lo, this was only a Rabbanan shela yoimru Kohen Gadol chavish beveis asurin. The reason we put a mezuzah there is because we didn't want it to look. We don't want to give off the appearance that the Kohen Gadol is being forced to live here, because it's going to look like he's incarcerated. So shela yoimru Kohen Gadol chavish beveis asurin. So to protect the Kohen Gadol, that's why they did this. Okay, Gemara man tana lahada tana Rabbanan. Who is the tana of the following brayse? Kol asharim shayu sham lahayu lemezuzah. All the sha'arim that were there, meaning all the gates of the Azara. We learned about the gates of the Azara in Mesechta Shkalim, 13 gates or 7 gates, but all the gates that were in the Azara, lo yihayu la mezuzah, didn't have a mezuzah, chutz mishar niknar. Now, a gate also has to have a mezuzah. Uchsavtam, al mezuzah is beisecha, uvisharecha, right? Uvisharecha. So a shar has to have a mezuzah. Now, what about the sharim and the Azara? They didn't have a mezuzah, with the exception of shar niknar, shalifnim imenu lishkas parhedrin. The reason is because it opened up into lishkas parhedrin. So this was a shar that opened up into a beis dira. That's why he had a mezuzah. Leim rabbanu v'leim Rabbi Yehuda. Should we say that that brice is going according to Rabbanu, not according to Rabbi Yehuda? Why? Because in Rabbi Yehuda, if it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, we just said there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, Lishkas Parhedrin was chayv and mezuzah midei raisa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Lishkas Parhedrin was only chayv and mezuzah midei rabbanan. So, says the Gemara, Bishlam, according to the Chachamim, yechayv midei raisa. So, it makes sense. Chayv, it's a regular Beis Dira, Lishkas Parhedrin. This is a shar that opens to a Beis Dira, so you have to have a mezuzah. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do you have a mezuzah on Lishkas Parhedrin? He goof exer. It's only exer that people shouldn't think that the Kohen Gadol is chavish beveis asurim. Is vanan nekem and nigs exer l'exera? So do we have to make exer l'exera? So fine, so put a mezuzah on the Lishkas Parhedrin. Why do you have to put a mezuzah on the shahr as well? So the Gemara says, afilo teimer Rabbi Yehuda kulachad exeri. Now, of course, maybe it could be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, but at the same time, kulachad exeri. If the idea is to make it look like this is a real bias, as if the Kohen Gadol really wants to live here. He's not being taken away forcefully. So we have to finish the job. We have to make sure that the entire picture is going to look that way. We have to cross the T's and dot the I's. That's the point. So we don't just put a mezuzah in Lishkas Bar Hedshin. We put it in the shire that opens up into the Lishkas Bar Hedshin. Like this is going to look like it's a real Beis Tira. The theme. Then no one's going to think that the Kohen Gadol is really Chavosh V'Beis Arsurim. So again, we had a machloikis on the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Aleph, which took us to the top of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. And that is Lishkas Par Hedshin. Did it have a mezuzah or did it not have a mezuzah? Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Chachamim say it was a Beis Dira, Memel had a mezuzah. Rabbi Yehuda said, I agree it had a mezuzah, but it was only a gzera. Number one, we know what the gzera was. The gzera was, Shlo Yoimru, Kohen Gadol Chavosh V'Beis Asur. In terms of what exactly the Hesber and the Machloikis is, we had three pshatim, we had Rabba's pshat, we had Abaya's pshat, and we had Rava's pshat exhale. So, three ha'aris as it relates to yesterday's daf and today's daf. So the first two are going to be related to yesterday's daf, and the third one is going to be related to today's daf. But as we mentioned, really, this is all one big segue. This is all one big digression from digression. All of these Gemaras, you know, on some level, are a little bit connected. So yesterday, the Gemara talked about Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Bayis Rishon was destroyed. Avodah Zarah Gilui Arayos Shvichas Damim. Bayis Sheni was destroyed because of sinas chinam. And then the Gemara said, "Lamedcha sheshkula sinas chinam, that sinas chinam is shakul kisholish averos chamuras." Avodah Zarah Gilui Arayos Shvichas Damim. And then the Gemara had a discussion as to who are worse: the people that lived during Bayis Rishon or the people that lived during Bayis Sheni. And the Gemara said, Bira Teichiach. Yochanan said it, others said it. Bira Teichiach. Take a look at the Beis HaMikdash. The Yidden that lived during Bayis Rishon got the Beis HaMikdash back. They had a Bayis Sheni. The Yidden that lived during Bayis Sheni never got the Beis HaMikdash back. We're still waiting. Achakalei b'chol yom sheyavai. So says the Gemara, Bira Teichiach. The Beis HaMikdash itself is the biggest raya. Why do we have to sit and debate and try to find references and innuendo from different psukim? It's pashit. It's mefurish. Bira Teichiach. The Yidden of Bayis Rishon got the Bayis Sheni back. The Yidden of Bayis Sheni are still waiting for Bayis Shlishi. So this is a raya that the Yidden of Bayis Rishon must have been better than the Yidden of Bayis Sheni. I saw in the Chassam Sofer, it's in one of his drushes, he says a davar nifla. He says, Yesh Loimar, what's the pshat that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but then the Yidden that lost the first Beis HaMikdash, their descendants, was Zoicha to a Bayis Sheni. But the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and 2,000 years later, we're still waiting for a Bayis Shlishi. What's pshat in the Birut Teichiach? Why is it that Bayis Rishon's Churban on some level was corrected, it was fixed, but we're still waiting for the correction of Churban Bayis Sheni? So he says, Yesh Loimar, Bayis Rishon was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. It was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins. Bayis Sheni was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And we mentioned that the Chafetz Chaim said it was Lashon Hara, and the Chassam Sofer himself said that it was Lashon Hara, and I found since that the Chassam Sofer in a few places says what the Chafetz Chaim said, that really the Chet of Sinas Chinam is code for Lashon Hara. Sinas Chinam was what caused it. It was the source. It was the shirish of it. People's hearts weren't in the right place, and as a result, their tongues weren't in the right place. But really, it began. The shirish of it was Sinas Chinam. It was manifest with the chet of Lashon Hara. So says the Chassam Sofer, and just tweak the Lashon a little bit, I'll be darker shall HaChafetz Chaim. A person can be over by the Zara. He could do Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Damim, and then he could daven to the Eibush of Yerushalayim, Ircha Barachim and Toshav, and the Eibush is going to answer that tefillah. He doesn't lose his Koyach HaTefillah. He said, but when a person has Sinas Chinam, and when a person speaks Lashon Hara, he loses the Koyach of his Lashon. And says the Chassam Sofer, a Dover Nifla, something only the Chassam Sofer would say, that the Gemara says in Masechtis, Bav Metzia, Daf, Nun Tesla Midbeis. Amar Rabbi Loza, Miyoyim Shechara Beis HaMikdash. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ninalu Sharei Tfilo. We lost the Sharei Tfilo. Shenema. Because the Pasuk says, it's Eicha Peregimel. Gam Ki Ezak V'Ashaveya, Sosam Tfilosni. That the Shari Tefillah were locked. Says the Chassam Sofer, it was only Miyom Shachara Bayis Sheni, not Miyom Shachara Bayis Rishon. After Bayis Rishon, despite the fact that the Yidden did such terrible Averis, but there's something called the Koyach HaTefillah. So the Yidden daven, and because they daven, they got the Beis HaMikdash back. He says the reason Bayis Sheni didn't, Bayis Shlishi hasn't come yet, and the reason we can't bring back the Beis HaMikdash is because we lost our Koyach HaTefillah. It's a Gemara. Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash Ninolu Sharei Tefillah, and it means Bayis Sheni. Says the Chassamim, that's the pshat. Bayis Rishon was avoid the Zargilar Ay Shmichas Damim. That's why there was a Churban, it was Geferlach. But at the same time, the Yidden still had a Koyach HaTefillah. And it was the Koyach HaTefillah that brought back the Beis HaMikdash. It was the Tefillahs of the Yerushalayim Mircha. Hashem listens to Tefillahs. It says the reason we're still davening and no one's listening, and the reason we're still, or at the very least, we're still waiting for our tefillahs to be answered, the reason it's gam ki ezak v'ashaveya sosam tefilosi eicha peregimel, we're still living that klol of eicha peregimel, it's because nina lushare tefillah, and it's nina lushare tefillah, he says, because of the sinas chinam, it's because of the lashon hara, he says, shari oinolei nina lo ayin sham. I was thinking maybe just one hergish, that the Gemara says that even though shari tefillah were ninalu, but shari d'mois loy ninalu. Right, the shari d'mois loy ninalu. So you do what the Kotzker Rebbe said, that if the shari d'mois loy ninalu, so why there even gates? We need gates for if they're always open, why do you need gates? So the Kotzker Rebbe said, the gates are there for the falsha t'renen. He says, if somebody cries false tears, there's gates for that. That was the Kotzker Rebbe's Harifos. But shari d'mois loy ninalu. Right, what's the pshat? Maybe the word is because the Yidden sinned during Bayis Sheni with their hearts. Sinas chinam. That's l'sisnas achicha b'lvavecha. We sinned with our lashon. We spoke lashon hara, but we never sinned with our demois. Demois were errants. They're pristine. So, tefillah, which is avodah sapeh, we have the chet of lashon hara. Tefillah, which is avodah shebelev, we have the chet of sinas chinam, of a shari demois leininalo. And because shari demois leininalo, that's the yitzkayach through shari demois. But again, this is of course to the point of the Chafetz Chaim that we daven for Mashiach and we daven for Yerushalayim, Mircha, Barachim, and Tashuv. We have to fix our problem. And this is unique and pointed specifically towards our ability to bring the Beis HaMikdash back. Because the koyach to bring the Beis HaMikdash back is going to be through tefillah. That's what the Chassam Sofer said is Pshat and Bira Teichiyah. Bayis Rishon had a Bayis Sheni. It was because of the koyach HaTefillah. Because with all the Averis that Dor did, they never lost their koyach HaTefillah. He said the problem is the Averis of Bayis Sheni came with a very expensive invoice. An invoice that we've been paying for close to 2,000 years. And that is Shari Tefillah is Ninalo. And because Shari Tefillah is Ninalo, that's what's handicapped us and taken away our ability to bring back the Beis HaMikdash with our Koyach HaTefillah. And he says that's why if Yid works on this area of his Avodah, it's through that we have a chance to b'meir b'yameinu bring back the Beis HaMikdash. That's the first Ara. The second Ara is the Gemara on Daf Tes Amid Beis told a rather cryptic story. The Gemara says, Reish Lakish havesachi b'yardana. Reish Lakish was once swimming in the Yarden. Asa Rabbi Bar Bachana, Yov Le'yada, Rabbi Bar Bachana came to him, and he offered Reish Lakish a hand. Amale. So rather than allowing Rabbi Bar Bachana simply to take Reish Lakish's hand, Reish Lakish instead told Rabbi Bar Bachana a shtickle Torah, which was some pretty intense Toychacha. He told them, and he went on to say that it's because of you and your Zaydis that remained in Bavel even after the Yidden were given permission to come build the second Beis HaMikdash, that the Shechina was never Shoira properly in Bayis Rishon. So the Gemara says that I have a problem with this story. Could this story have really happened? Reish Lakish mimishtoy behind Rabbi Bar Bachana. Is it possible that Reish Lakish would have even had this conversation with Rabbi Bar Bachana? He said, "Ma Rabbi Lazar, Madach Rabbi Lazar, the Morad Ari Yisrael Hava, who was the Morad Ari Yisrael. He was the Gadol in Eretz Yisrael. V'lei having mishtoy Reish Lakish b'day. And we know that Reish Lakish refused to talk to Rabbi Lazar. So if Reish Lakish wouldn't speak to Rabbi Lazar, do you think that Reish Lakish would speak to Rabbi Bar Bachana? Now the Gemara says, why would Reish Lakish have not spoken to Rabbi Lazar? Because anyone that Reish Lakish would have spoken to in the shuk, people would have assumed that this person is such an erlich person, he must be so honest, that people would literally be willing to give him money, iska, invest with him, without any aidim. And Reish Lakish didn't want that anyone should be put in that vulnerable position where he took somebody else's money. There are no Eidim to testify that he took that person's money. As a result, he may be tempted now to commit the Avera of Gezela, because he can deny. There's no way to prove otherwise. So for that reason, Rish Lakish wouldn't speak to anybody. So the Gemara says, Rish Lakish, we have a Messiah, never spoke to anybody. He didn't talk to anyone in the shuk. So if he never spoke to anybody in the shuk, even Rabbi Lazar, who was the Marad Aradi Yisrael, he was the Gadol Adar in Eretz Yisrael at the time. If Rish Lakish wouldn't talk to him, you think Rish Lakish would have spoken to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana? That's the Gemara. Tosfos incidentally says, what do you mean? There's many Gemaras in Shas where Rish Lakish is talking to people. So how could you tell me Rish Lakish never spoke to anybody? So Tosfos says, you have to say, he wouldn't initiate a conversation. However, if Rabbi Lazar, let's say, would speak to Reish Lakish, then he would respond to him. But the bottom line is, the Gemara says, let's just focus on one sliver of this Gemara, that Reish Lakish wouldn't talk even to the great Rabbi Lazar in the Shuk. And the reason is because Reish Lakish had this fear that if somebody saw him talking to someone in the shuk, people would think that person must be very erlich, and they would be yovelei iska b'loy sahadi, and Rish Lakish didn't want to have anything to do with what the ramifications can be from something like that happening. But essentially, if you think about it, what the Gemara is saying is that on some level, Rish Lakish wasn't sure that he trusted Rabbi Lazar, right? Because what the Gemara say? If somebody would see Rish Lakish talking to Rabbi Lazar, somebody say, Rabbi Lazar must be so erlich, Rish Lakish is even talking to him. So what's going to happen? Rabbi Lazar is looking to raise money. Someone's going to give Rabbi Lazar money. He's going to say, Rabbi Lazar, I trust you. You're so erlich. I saw Rish Lakish talking to you. We don't even need documentation. You don't need a shtar. You don't need Eidim. You don't need anything. The next thing you know, the person's going to come to Rabbi Lazar. He says, no. How's my investment doing? I have no idea what you're talking about. So really, if you think about the Gemara, at first glance, it sounds like Rish Lakish, he didn't trust Rabbi Lazar 100%. So I saw Rabbi Ruven Margolis in his Sefer Netzoytzeyar on this Gemara right here. I mean, this is Rabbi Ruven Margolis 101. So he says on this Gemara, he says, I am Masha Kosafti Besifri Oilolos. So Rabbi Ruven Margolis wrote a Sefer called Oilolos. And it's essentially a bunch of Talmudic riddles that Rav Reuven Margolis went on to solve. We've spoken out one piece from the Sefer Oilolos, the Wives of Bar Kapara. The name of the shtickle is Neshei Bar Kapara. We spoke this out in Masechtas Erev in classic Shabbat classic. But either way, in his Sefer Oilolos, Neshei Bar Kapara is Sifkotin Hey, this is Sifkotin Gimel. He calls it Iska Beloy Sahadi. And he begins with this Gemara Yuma Davtes Amidays, and he asks the question that we just mentioned. So you tell me Rish Lakish didn't trust Rabbi Lazar, but he was worried that someone's going to give Rabbi Lazar money, and then Rabbi Lazar's just going to deny it, and he's going to end up setting it up. So he says, in order to understand this, you have to know three Gemaras. The first is a Gemara Masechtas Bava Metzia, Dafayin Hey Amidays. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Kol mi sheyesh lo mois. If somebody has money, umalva oisin shloi be'edim, and he lends the money to somebody without edim, oivim mishum v'lifnei iver leisita michshol. He violates the law in the Torah, lifnei iver leisita michshol. You lend someone money without edim. You think you're the biggest tzaddik in the world. You're actually oivim v'lifnei iver leisita michshol. And the reason is because you're now setting the person up to maybe go ahead and deny it, and when he denies it, it's going to be your fault. You shouldn't have loaned him the money without edim. Rish Lakish amar. Rish Lakish said, goyrim klal ala atzmai. It's even worse than that. You goyim klal alatzmei shenema teolam nosifse shaker had goyros al tzadik asaf. Says the Gemara. Amru le rabbanon le Rav Ashi. The rabbanon told Rav Ashi, komikayim ravina komad amir rabbanon. That ravina is the biggest tzadik. He doesn't just do deraises. He does every single thing, anything that any one of the rabbanon say. Ravina's mikayim. Ravina, Rav Ashi were the two authors of the Talmud Bavli. But they had a Rebbe-Talmud relationship. Rav Ashi was the Rebbe, and Ravina was the Talmud. He was a Talmud Chaver, but he was a Talmud. So the Gemara says, they told Rav Ashi that Ravina, your Talmud, he's Kamekayim, Komad Amar Rabban, Sholach Lei, Bahadi Panya Demali Shabbos. So Rav Ashi wanted to see if this was really true. So it was Erev Shabbos, literally, Bein HaShmosh, Shkia time. He sends him the following, Lishadar Li Mara Sora Zuzi. Can you please send me 10 Zuzim, this Ramali Ketina Darlam Isman. I want to buy a piece of property, and I want to know if you will give me 10 Zuzi. So Rav Ashi, the Gadol Hadar, Mamish, a few minutes before Shkia, this is after Erev Shabbos Chatzos, he sends him this telegram, and he tells Ravina, I'm looking to raise 10 zuzi. I want to buy a small piece of property. Maybe you can give me. Shalach Lehi told him, Naisi Mar Sahadi. V'nichtav Skava says, of course, Rabbi Avada, but is I need Eidim. Eidim come, we write a shtar, then I'm going to give it to you. So Shalach Lehi, he wrote back to him, Afilu Anon Nami, what, you don't trust me? I'm your Rebbe. Shalach Lehi, he told him, Kol Shkein Mar. I know, I'm more worried about you. The Torah Begirse, because you're Torah Begirse, and because you're Torah Begirse, you're always learning, Mishtale, there's more of a chance you're going to forget that this loan ever happened, the Goyrim Klala La'atzmi, and you're going to cause me Klala. Because I know what Reish Lakish said, and that is, called Misha Yeshloi Mois, Umalva Oisam Shaloi Be'edim, Goyrim Klala La'atzmi. So Ravina told Rav Ashi, oh, I'm more worried about you. You know why? Because you're someone that's Torah Begirse. And because you're Torah Begirse, I'm afraid something's going to happen. So Rav Ashi was trying to see if Ravina really was Mekayim Kama Adam Rabban. He wanted to see if he's even Mekayim this, that he wouldn't lend somebody money below Yehidim. And Ravina lived up to the test. He passed this one of the Asara Nisyonis of Rav Ashi. And he told him, Nafka, I'm not going to lend it to you. He says, me? You don't trust me? He says, what do you mean? I heard from Reish Lakish. So said Rav Reuven Margolis, you see two things from this Gemara. Number one, Reish Lakish was uber sensitive to this idea. Reish Lakish said, "Kol mi sheyesh loy mois, umal v'oisim shloy be'edim, goyrim klala la'atzmai." When Ravina told Rav Ashi, "I can't do it," who was he quoting? He was quoting Reish Lakish. Goyrim klala la'atzmai. That's what you want to happen to me, Chalila. So you see, this is something that Reish Lakish was very sensitive to. But you see another thing in the Gemara, and you see that someone that's Torah Begirse, someone that's orangutan in his learning in a very stark way, he's able to forget. Sometimes his head is not there, so he's sitting and he's handling money with somebody, but really that's not where his head is. He's Torah Begirse. And as a result, he's higher risk when it comes to falling into a situation like this. Sandra Bruvim Margolis, there's another Gemara. This is in Talmud Yerushalmi. It's a Masechtas Brachas, Perek Hei Halacha Aleph. The Gemara says, Reish Lakish Miyaguba Eiraiso. Reish Lakish was once haraving in a sugya. He was learning, and he was so teef in the sugya. Right, the Gemara says Reish Lakish was an oikahara. He was so teef in his lumdis. He was so teef in the sugya. Have enough akle the bar mitchumet the shabata vahula yada. He once left the tchum on Shabbos. Reish Lakish went outside the tchum. The whole mesachtes erevin. How could Reish Lakish have done that? Because he was so deep in his learning, he was so steeped and so immersed in his learning that he once went outside the tchum. Says the Gemara, "L'kayim ashenemar b'avoso tishke tomit." That a person can be so arangutan in his ahavas atayra that tishke tomit. He could be bali de shagaga. He could sometimes make a mistake. So he says Reish Lakish had first-hand experience of what this means. That a person could be so tief arayin in learning that he can sometimes be oblivious to what's going on in the world. He went outside the tchum. Says Reuven Margolis, one more Gemara. The Gemara says in Erevin Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Ma'idichsiv Bavosa Tishke Tomit Kigoin. Who's a mashal of that? Who's the paradigm of Bavosa Tishke Tomit? Going Rabbi Elazar ben Pados. It's Rabbi Elazar ben Pados. Amru all of Rabbi Elazar ben Pados. They say about Rabbi Elazar ben Pados, Shehoyu Yoshev Oisik B'Toyer B'Shuk Atachten. He would be learning Toyer B'Shuk Atachten Shal Tzipoyri V'Sadinei Mutla B'Shuk Ha'Elyoin. And his Kapato was in the Shuk Ha'Elyoin. What's Shal Tzipoyri? Because he was sitting and learning and he was Bavasa Tishka Tamin. He started off here and they would find this out there. The Rensel was there. Right, everything was all over the place. Why? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Pados was the living embodiment of Bahavasa Tishke Tamid, said Rabbi Reuven Margolis. I think we solved the riddle. Rabbi Reish Lakish was so sensitive, like the Gemara says, in Masechtas Bava Metzia Davayin Heimabes. Reish Lakish said that if someone's malva mois to someone, Chaloy Be'edim is Gurim Klala La'atzmai. This is Klala, it's very, very serious. So Reish Lakish didn't want to have anything to do with a situation where somebody's going to give money to somebody else, Chaloy Be'edim. Reish Lakish also knew from first hand experience what Ravina would tell Rav Ashi hundreds of years later. But he knew it from first-hand experience. He understood what it means, Bavosa Tishke Tomid, that a person can be so tief arayin in learning, that literally could be, Reish Lakish had it himself, Yerushalmi. He once left outside the tchum, L'kayim Mashanem of Bavosa Tishke Tomid. And Reish Lakish also knew that who was Chazal's paradigm, who embodied Bavosa Tishke Tomid more than anyone else? It's a Gemara in Erevin on Dalet Amud Beis. It's Kigoin Rabbi Elazar ben Pados that he was b'shuk atachto in Shal Tzipoyri and his kapoto was in shuk elyon in Shal Tzipoyri. So he was worried that if I'm going to talk to Rabbi Elazar, in the shuk, people will be yavale iska beloy sahadi. Of course, he wasn't choshed. Rabbi Loza said Rabbi Ruvin Margolis, but he was worried. Like Ravina told Rav Ashi, he was worried that he's torah begirse. Why was he worried about Rabbi Loza? Because Rabbi Loza's bavasa tishke tamid. He's the embodiment of bavasa tishke tamid. That's what his concern was. It wasn't chalila that he was choshed him. Either way, this is Rabbi Ruvin Margolis in a sefer oilalis sifkotin gimel. But one final ara, and that is, the Gemara said on the top of Daf Yoram and Aleph, today's Daf began with the Pasuk, B'nei Yefes, the sons of Yefes, Goymer u'magoig, u'madai v'yavon, v'suval, u'meshech, v'siros. And we said these are the seven sons of Yefes, and each one of these sons went and they became the founder of what would become seven great nations. And the Gemara specifically was zoning in on Siros. Siros is Paras. That's how you know Paras came from Yefes. Yaftali Kimli Yefes is a reference to the second Beis HaMikdash, which was built and financed by the Persian Empire, and there was no Shechina because Yaftali Kimli Yefes. However, the Yishkoin Ba'ahal Eshem. And the Gemara here on Daf Yud went and translated in a way that was known at the time what exactly these seven Medinas were. Now, one of the seven sons of Yefes, his name was Magog. And Magog represents a Medina. The Medina that's known in history as Magog. That's clear. The question is, what exactly was Magog? So the Gemara says that Magog is the city of Candia, if that helps. Magog is Candia. If you take a look at the Ein Yaakov, the Ein Yaakov has a different gerus in the Gemara, and the Mei Yaakov comes up with a different name to exactly what Magog was. It was Gumsa. But there's a third pshat in what Magog is that I think is absolutely fascinating, and that is the Targum Yoinesin, and this is in Parshas Noach. On this pasuk, the pasuk says, "Bnei Yefes goymeru magig umadai v'yavon v'suval u'meshach v'tiras." Zok to Targum Yoinesin, "Bnei de Yefes goymeru magig umadai v'yavon v'suval u'meshach v'tiras." V'shum aparchi yosheim. They went and they made these seven nations. They founded seven nations. What were these seven nations? So it goes in order: Afriki v'Germania v'Hamdai u'Macedonia v'Atinia v'Usia v'Sarki. So in order, the first one is Goymer. Goymer was Afriki. The second one is Magog. Magog is Germania. It would seem from the Gemara that Magog is Germany. Now we're all familiar with the Melchama of Gog u'Magog. And the truth is, the Rambam talks about the Melchama of Gog u'Magog in Hilchos Malachim. It's in Perik Yud Beis, Halacha Beis. The Rambam over there describes the end of days. He says, quote, just a few lines. Yirim b'pshutam shal divrei hanaviim. It would seem from the pashtus of the divrei hanaviim, shebetchili yimayis ha-mashiach, tia melchemes goy gumagoy. Then in the beginning of the days of Mashiach, there's going to be a melchemes goy gumagoy. V'shekoyda melchemes goy gumagoy. Before the war of goy gumagoy, yamay navi li Yisrael. There's going to be a navi in Klal Yisrael. Liyashi Yisrael alahachin liban. His job is going to be to make sure that the Yidden do tshuva. Shenema hini anoich shaleach lechem es Eliyahu hanavi. I'm skipping a little bit. V'yeshmen hachamim sha'omrim. There's some of the chachamim that say shekoyin nebias hamelech haMashiach yovei Eliyahu. That before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu is going to come. The truth is, we talk about this sometimes. No one really knows what's going to happen. Even the Nevi'im didn't really know. We have no Messiah on this. All we do is we try to understand the Psukim a little bit. And he says that's why there's differing opinions. He says, but regardless, not something you really have to know. And that's why the Rambam says, don't spend too much time on it. What's the ikar? Yechake v'yamin. All you should do is wait and believe, and that's really what matters. But to try to figure out what Melchemes Goyg u'Magog is, and if Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come before Mashiach, and what exactly Mashiach is going to... These are all things we don't know, the Rambam says. We have no Messiah on it. It was Dvarim Stumin Klapei HaNeviim. L'shoinei Azov Shal HaRambam. The Neviim didn't know. So we're going to figure it out. So at the end of the day, these are not things that we really have on it. But one thing the Rambam does mention, he mentions a war that's going to happen in the end of days. The Rambam's Lashon is that B'Mois HaMashiach, Shebetchilos Y'Mois HaMashiach, Tia Melchemes Goy Gu Magoy,
And there's going to be a war, and the war is what's going to be known as Melchemes Gog Ummagog. Now Chazal spoke about Melchemes Gog Ummagog. Just one Marum Magog. Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon ben Levi, Mishur Makar Par. Come, can you show this b'Shabbos? Someone that keeps three Sudas on Shabbos, needs a Mishonosh Peronius. He's going to be saved from the three punishments. Michevle Shal Mashiach, Umidina Shal Gehenim, Umi Melchemes Gog Ummagog. So you see, there's something called Chevle Shal Mashiach, there's something called Gehenim, and there's something called Melchemes Gog Ummagog. So there's some war. It's known as Melchemes Gog Ummagog. We have it in our Messiah. And this Melchemes Gog Ummagog, is this war that the Rambam is talking about that's going to happen sometime circa Bias HaMashiach. The question is, what's the Makar to all this? So the truth is, it's in Navi. This is Tanakh 101. The Navi Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Ches, Perek Lamed Tes, describes a nevuah that he had. Vayihi dvar Hashem elai lemar. Hashem came to me, and he said, Ben Adam, sim panecha el goig eretz magog. I want you to turn your attention to goig of eretz hamagog. Nesi roish meshech v'suval v'hi Navi olav. Zok tehilge Rashi. This is Rashi Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Aleph. Ben Adam Simponech El Goy, Kach Shem HaMelech. This is the name of the king. Who was the king of Eretz HaMagog? He was the king of Magog. Shem HaUma. It's the name of a Uma. Kamada At Omar Goy Meru Magog. He quotes the pasuk of today's daf. Goy Meru Magog. Goy was the name of a king. Magog was the name of a Medina. So number one, we hear sometimes about Milchemes Goyg Umagog. It sounds like Goyg Umagog were two nations. They're not two nations. They're certainly not fighting against each other. They're on the same team. Goig is the name of the Melech, and Magog is the name of the Medina. Right? Rashi. Goig, Shem HaMelech, Magog, Shem HaUma. It couldn't be more clear. If you go through the Nevuas of Yecheskel here in Perek Lamed Ches, Perek Lamed Tes, Hashem tells Yecheskel that there's going to be a time where Goig, Melech, Magog is going to chepa with the Yidin. Ultimately, he's going to be defeated. And when he's defeated, it's going to, v'hiskadilti, v'hiskadishti, v'noidati, leni goyim rabim, v'yadu ke'ani Hashem. Another pasuk. V'loy aster oid panay mehem, asher shafachti es ruchi al beis Yisrael, and Hashem alikim. This is going to be the end. He's going to be punished in the most horrific of ways. His kingdom is going to be completely wiped off the face of the earth. What about us? What about the Yidin? V'loy aster oid panay mehem. And this is going to be mamish bias HaMashiach. So the makar to Melchemes Gog Ummagog comes from Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Ches, Perek Lamed Tes. Goig is the name of the king. Magog is the name of the Medina. And this is the way it's going to play out. So the question is, what was Magog? What was Magog? So we went out of order. So one more time. We had in today's daf, the Gemara said that Magog is a land. It was called Kandia. If you take a look in the Ein Yaakov, on our Gemara, Yuma Daf Yuna Mar Aleph, it says, what was Magog? Gumsa. But if you look in the Targum Yoinesin, here in Parshas Noach, the Targum Yoinesin on the pasuk that says Bnei Yefes Goimer Umagog Umadai VeYavam VeSuval UMeshel VeSiras, they were seven sons of Yefes that built seven cities. What were the names of the seven cities? VeShum Aparchi Yashsoim Afriki VeGarmania. So Afriki is the first one, that's Goimer, and Garmania is the second one, that's Magog. Targum Yoinesin said that Magog is Garmania. That doesn't need a translation. It's Germany. Magog was Germany. So Goig Magog is one country. It's Germany. Germany had a Melech whose name is Goig. Goig is the king, the Führer, maybe, of Germany. That's what Goig Magog is. Now, the truth is, you're going to tell me, okay, it sounds very interesting. Two Marmakoimus, just two Ha'aris, just some food for thought. The first is a Gemara Masechtas Megillah, Dababa Menalish. This is a well-known Gemara. Vam Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Maidich said, what's Pshat in a Pasuk in Tehillim that says, Ati al titen Hashem mavaye rosho, zemamay al tofik, yoru musnelo. Says the Gemara, Amar Yaakov ne HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov is talking, and he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Reboinu Shalaylam. Al titen le'esav harosha tavas liboy. Zmamay al tofeg zugar mamyo shel edoim. It's referring to a specific Medina that would come from Esav. It's called Garmamya shel edoim. Yaakov Avinu saw beruach kotshoy that they were going to be very, very dangerous. And he recited a special tefillah. He said, Hashem, save the Yidin from Garmamya shel edoim. Who are they? Shel mole hen yoitzin machriven kol ha'olam kulay. They're so powerful that they're going to have the ability to destroy the world. If you look in Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Hagois, on this Gemara right here in Masechtas Megillah. He says, Garmamya kimeduma ratzolim garmanya. He ashkelos shalonu. It's what we know as Ashkenaz. It's Germany. So there's already a Mefurish Gemara in Megillah Davov that seems to say that Germany, at some point in history, was going to be very, very powerful. We have a Targum Yoinesen that says Magog is Germania. Magog is going to be this powerful nation that's going to go and is going to attack the Yidden. So I, as I was learning this, I remembered, I heard many, many years ago from the Mashkiach, Zolzang Gezun, Matzio Solomon, he said over, this was around 9/11, said over something that he heard from his Rebbe, the Rebbe Yilapian, and I found that it's Mefurish in the Lev Elio, it's in Parshas Yisroel. He writes, quote, he says, Anisha Mati Belondon, I was in London, this is the Rebbe Yilapian talking, Mipia Kodesh Rebbe Chonav Vassaman, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha. He says, I met Rebbe Chonav Vassaman, Sha'oma B'Shem HaChofetz Chaim, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha. And he said over the name of his Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim, She'chazal Oymrim She'milchemes Goygu Moga Yishalish Pamim, that Milchemes Goygu Moga is going to happen three times. It's not one war, it's going to happen three times. V'oz Hoya Achri HaMilchoma Olamas HaRishayna. He said, when this happened, it was between World War I and World War II. V'omra Chofetz Chaim, the Chofetz Chaim said, Shamulchom Azois, Oysom Milchemes Goygu Magagar Rishayna. He said, World War I, that's what Chofetz Chaim was talking about, was the first of the three of these Milchemes Goygu Magag. And then the Chofetz Chaim said, I remember hearing this from the Mashkiach, he said, he heard it from his Rebbe, who said, word for word, what he was makab, what he heard, Pasha from Rabbi Chana. He said that World War II, there's going to be another war. It's going to be by Esrim V'chameh Shana Be'erech, approximately 25 years. And he said that war, HaMulchama, was going to make the Mulchama Rishayna Tia Ke'efes Nagdo. It's going to make World War I look like it was nothing. It's going to look like child's play. Compare what World War II is going to be. He said, and then there's going to be a third Milchemes Goygu Magog. Esorihi liyakov. It's going to be an Esor liyakov. Avol mimenu yivasheya. But Klal Yisrael is going to be speared. And then he said, Rabbi Chanan went on to talk about Chavli Mashiach, and he was telling about Milchemes Goygu Magog. He writes to him that Rabbi Chanan, this was, you know, when there was whispers already and there were feelings that maybe it was very dangerous for the Jews to be in Germany and in Litta, where Rabbi Chanan lived. And he said, Rabbi Elia said, I asked Rabbi Chanan, I said, why are you going back now? And Rabbi Chanan said that, Medavgein, and he told him whatever he told him, Ayin Shon. But the bottom line is this is something that Rabbi Elia Lapian said that he heard from Rabbi Chanan, who heard from the Chofetz Chaim, that prior to World War II, the Chofetz Chaim already predicted World War II, and he said that it was going to be Be'erech 25 years after World War I, which is, of course, exactly when it happened. But he said that World War I, World War II, and I guess World War III were all Milchemes Goygu Magog. It's incredible. So World War II was Milchemes Goygu Magog. Who's Magog? Targum Yonason says, Magam is Germania. If that's the case, I think we know who Goig was as well. We know who Goig was. We know who Magog was. That was the second of the three Milchemes Goig and Magog. Just a ha'ara, and we'll stop here.